First, with me on the phone from Washington is Senator Mark Pryor. Senator, thanks for taking a few minutes today.
Thank you for having me.
I want to talk about the approaching deadline for the debt ceiling for the country in a moment. First, in Arkansas, residents of Johnson and Franklin counties affected by the spring storms, floods, and tornadoes are being allowed to apply for and receive federal disaster assistance this week via FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And this is a reversal of sorts, isn't it?
It is. It was kind of shocking, quite frankly, a few weeks ago when FEMA denied Johnson and Franklin County's application for this, denied the state's application for it. But we all got to work. We all worked together, the Arkansas delegation, certainly Governor Beebe and his team at Department of Emergency Management, and the county judges and the mayors in that area. We all worked together, and we got it reversed. It's hard to understand why they said no in the first place, but it's very rare to get a reversal because, you know, FEMA's the judge and jury. They said no the first time. Why should they say yes the second time? But we were able to convince them and get them to relook at it. So it's great news for Arkansas.
What sort of evidence or cajoling did you use?
You know, quite frankly, I think that we basically refiled what we'd done before just with some extra information, photos, maps, things like that. You know, honestly, I talked to the county judges over there. FEMA came right after the storms, and they pretty much looked at it. They didn't even go through the whole county or the whole community and just said, you guys are going to be good here. You know, this is virtually automatic. And they left. They probably went up to Joplin or somewhere. And somehow it just kind of got tied up in whatever bureaucracy. And, you know, when it came back, it was a no. So it was really a surprise. But anyway, the credit there goes to the local folks and goes to Governor Beebe and our delegation. We all work together. That's a good example of how you can get good things done when you work together.
Well, speaking of working together, the deadline to extend the country's debt ceiling is approaching, and it does appear there's a long way to go until everyone's going to be working together.
Yeah, no, this has been a real problem. I mean, this obviously is a problem that we've been living beyond our means for decades, and so this has been building for a long, long time. We're finally at the point where you have a $14 trillion debt, and we're running out of pavement on this road. I mean, you know, this is the rating agencies that look at the U.S. credit and all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of factors and indicators out there that we need to fix this year. And we don't need to mess around. We don't need to play politics or posture. But we have the political system that currently exists in Washington. It's not about solving problems. It's about winning elections and scoring political points. And it's really been frustrating, I think, for the people of this country to see, because everybody knows that we can fix this. It's not going to be easy to fix, but we can fix this. It's a matter of math and arithmetic, but we need people here in Washington who are serious about it. And I think that's one of the things that we've seen in the last few days in these discussions at the White House is, quite frankly, there are some people in the room that aren't serious about it. I would even say that President Obama hasn't been serious enough about it until the last, I don't know, week or so. I mean, he's been posturing and whatnot too, but everybody in that room needs to get serious now. And I think the president is serious. I'm not sure everybody else is. And again, they say that when the doors close and the cameras leave, there's still a lot of posturing in that room. And you know, the quote from the last few days was the president said, "Don't call my bluff on this." Because he's not bluffing. I mean, this is a very, very serious thing for the country, and like I said, we need serious-minded people up there to fix it.
What would the answer, if this can be fixed in this year, what would the answer include? Would it include raising taxes on the wealthiest Americans, severe spending cuts?
Yeah, I think that would probably be a small part of the package. I think really what you're looking at is you're looking at a whole series of spending cuts, both on the discretionary side, but also in entitlements. And again, no politician likes to admit that, but that's where we are today. And if you look at the numbers, we're on an unsustainable course. So we have to go in and fix all of these things. So you have to fix your discretionary spending. You have to spend a little less. You have to fix your entitlements. You have to restructure some of those. And over time, you know, in order to save those, you fix those and spend a little less there. And the third thing you have to do, you have to put the tax code on the table, and you've got to find some more revenue. And, you know, I have a lot of close relationships on the Republican side of the aisle, and last week I was on the Senate floor, and there was a group of us talking, and I said, guys, look, you know, revenue has to be part of this. It just has to. If you look at the numbers, revenue just has to be part of it. And they said, well, you know, we've signed these no new tax pledges. And I said, I understand that. I promise you, because, you know, a lot of us over here have signed them on Social Security and Medicare. But, you know, we understand that. But if you take the Republican position literally, and you take what you say literally, that means General Electric will never pay taxes again. And they looked at me and they said, you know, that's not what we mean. I said, I know that's not what you mean. That's why you've got to get in here and get right on revenue. I'm not saying raise people's tax rates. In fact, the Debt Commission said you can lower people's tax rates. But you have to make changes in the tax code where it's fairer and where the government can actually get more revenue and spread it out more, you know, and make everybody, like General Electric and others, pay. You know, you have an inequity there. Walmart pays something like a 30% federal income tax rate, something like that. GE pays zero. Now explain that to me. You know, who has more employees here? Walmart. Who has a bigger presence here? Walmart. Who has a bigger presence around the country, around the world, I mean? Walmart. Yet they're paying 30% in taxes or something close to that. GE's paying zero. Our tax code doesn't make sense, and that's what we have to fix. And I'm for that, and I've been saying that all over the state of Arkansas. I've been shouting it from the rooftops. But there are a lot of politicians in Washington that just do not want to even get close to saying that, and that's one of the problems. We need leadership here. We need people who are elected, who are in office, to get up here and make the hard choices and do the right thing. That's the way I feel about it.
Senator McConnell, Mitch McConnell, revealed a somewhat complicated plan that would allow the president to raise the debt ceiling, I think, three times, but after a public vote of Congress. What do you think of that plan?
Well, I'm glad that Senator McConnell offered that. I don't agree with what he's doing, but I'm glad he offered it for this reason. If you look at what's happened over the last couple of months, there have been a series of meetings and efforts and groups to try to get to some agreement on the budget and on the debt and on the debt ceiling. In every one of those, it's been the Republicans who've walked out of the room. And for the first time, you have a Republican leader who's actually putting a plan on the table. Now, again, I think in the end, what he's doing is he's letting the country increase the debt ceiling, but the political part of that is they're setting it up to where Obama gets all the blame for that. And that's probably not a tenable solution. That's probably not going to work. But the fact that he put it on the table, I think, is a good sign. And I'm glad that Senator McConnell is doing that. I hope that means that he is going to be willing to work with the president and the House and everybody else and try to get this resolved. But I'm glad he did it, but I don't think it's an idea that's going to go anywhere.
And the president last week in an interview with CBS said he couldn't guarantee the timely distribution of Social Security checks if the country defaults. You think that's true, or, as his critics say, a bit of a scare tactic?
No, I think that's true, and I wish it weren't true, and I wish I could say that, no, the president's just bluffing on that, or he's just, you know, trying to scare folks. I don't think he is. There's a bipartisan group here in Washington, and it's called the Bipartisan Policy Center. Bipartisan Policy Center, and if any of your listeners want to look at their website, they have some scenarios of what would happen, you know, come August 2nd if we don't get some agreement and some extension on the debt ceiling. It's ugly. I mean, I think people think, oh, last time y'all got close to shutting the government down and that wasn't going to be that bad, et cetera. This is very different. This is a very different animal. And if you really look at this, it's ugly. And there is a possibility. I mean, you're going to have to make very, very hard choices. We have troops overseas right now. Are they not going to get paid? I think we're going to pay them. We have air traffic controllers and folks like that who literally, you know, our security people, our intelligence people, are we not going to pay them? No, I think we're going to pay them for the security and national security of our country. So what's going to give? Well, as important as it is, you're starting to, you get down the list. You're looking at things like Social Security. You're looking at things like Medicare. You're looking at things like the school lunch program, education, things like that. I don't like it. I hate where we are. But I don't think the president's scaring people. I think he's looking at the numbers. And I do know this, that when they walk in the room and they're discussing and they're negotiating, the president and his team are trying very, very hard to convince Republicans that this is real, and I think all the people in the room know it, but it's the political consequences that some of the Republicans don't want to deal with. And again, Democrats have to overcome their political fears, Republicans have to overcome their political fears. And I'm hoping that we're getting there, but I would say as of, you know, the time we're doing this interview, we're not there yet. I'm hoping we get there over the weekend.
18 days away from that August 2nd deadline, how confident are you?
Well, I think we will get something by that time. And here's my guess. My guess is this goes right up to very close to the deadline, and we end up coming with a deal that's not very pretty. We may have to get like a one-week extension in order to get all the thing drafted and get it through the Senate, get it through the House, and get it to the President's desk, so we do that. I think we're going to avoid catastrophe. I just hope that what we do is we do it in such a way that long-term we set ourselves up to pay this debt down, to manage what we're doing here and do it better, and eventually get back to a balanced budget and get this country back on track like it needs to be.
Senator Mark Pryor, thank you for your time.
Thank